What's happening, everybody? It's the QB List Podcast. You have Brian and Mario here to break down the second half of Week 9 sit start. Mario, how you doing?
Brian, I'm doing well. Another electric Thursday night game that I'm still just reeling in. Let's dig in. A battle of the Daniels, I like to call this one. Jaden versus Dimes. Yes. Anyway.
6-2 Commanders take it on the 2-6 Giants. It's a 44-point over-under in the Commanders. They have a 4-point spread on them. I mean, starting off the quarterbacks, right? The Daniels?
Let's start with the Daniels. It's battle of the Daniels. So, Jaden, admittedly, his day was kind of saved last week by that Hail Mary. It was a sick Hail Mary, but nonetheless. But listen, he's still quarterback 3 on the season. As long as his ribs are good, I'm firing him up. And on the other side, Daniel Dollars, it's been a full roller coaster. It went from dollar, it started dimes, as it always does, bumped up to quarters, even dollars. Now we're down to nickels and pennies. 7 points last week, 6 the week before. And even with those, he averages 13 points a game. So his last two outings, he hit his average, like combined. So that's not great. This feels like a downswing. I think I'm over dimes. He is, you know, super flex-ish.
Yeah, he's in that consideration as a start for super flex, but single QB. I wouldn't say necessarily over. There's a bunch that I love as far as like quarterback starts this week, but there's tons that I like. So, I mean, there's 15, 16 guys that I feel really comfortable with, and he just doesn't make that cut. So kind of a low-end quarterback too, but as you said, I mean, Jaden Daniels, he's top 3 play, top 5 play just about every week. Mm-hmm. Giants, they're weird. They can get after the quarterback. They can sack him. But luckily for himself, he's a quick mover on his feet. So I don't think he'll have any problem. We get to running backs, though. Tyrone Tracy looks like he's taken over this backfield. Absolutely crushed it last week. 20 attempts, 145 yards and a touchdown. 3 targets, caught 2 of them. Came out of the game with concussion.
Yes.
So that was the big thing. We're going to maybe rush for Singletary, imagining he's going to miss. But as of 4 hours ago, he is progressing through the protocol. Limited participant again, Wednesday and Thursday. It's looking pretty good for him. Most players I kind of would treat, we're going to miss 1 week. But Tyrone Tracy, he's got a good chance to play this week. So I guess it's whoever is starting, is that kind of the approach you're going with this backfield?
Yeah, whoever's starting, I'll say that. If Tracy doesn't start, I have Singletary as a running back 3. I think he's like purely getting by on volume. It seems like he's lost his step. And then, like you said, Tracy, I'm kind of just game planning right now. Anytime someone has a concussion protocol, it'd be amazing if he was able to slot in this week. But just for my own safety, I'm planning as if he won't play. If he does play, to me, he's an easy running back 1. We've seen what he could do against a tough Steelers defense. So I love him going forward.
Yeah, just give him the Guardian cap this week. He'd be good to go.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, Tua didn't want the Guardian cap. Maybe because they're not from Cleveland.
I don't get it. I don't understand. Yeah. Tua. Brian Robinson, he's been great this year. Absolutely great. Not an impressive performance last week.
Not flashy.
It's a tough matchup. 16 for 65. But I have to think you have to throw him right back out there against the Giants.
Definitely. Like, I have him as just rest of the season. He's a very solid running back too. Not flashy, not sexy, but a very safe floor for the most part. So I think that that's very solid in 10, 12 man leagues even. He'll get you the points.
For sure. Throughout the season, he's kind of been writing the injury report. He was a limited participant the last 2 days with a hamstring injury. I still think I'm starting him, you know, no matter what, as long as he's good to go. But in the event that he doesn't play this week, is Eckler a strong enough start for you? Do you feel comfortable flexing him?
Not as comfortable. I'd probably have him in that Singletary range, maybe a little above Singletary because I'm just so down on Singletary. So that's where I'd have Eckler.
Yeah, I think I'd prefer Eckler over Singletary if Tracy and Robinson are out for sure. I think I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
Wide receivers, McLaurin, he's been doing McLaurin things.
Oh my goodness. He's wide receiver 2 since week 3, which is kind of when Washington's offense figured out. So absolutely insane. Wide receiver 1, easy for me. Other wide receivers for Washington, I'm not considering. It's a very short list.
Yeah, Noah Brown, I'm intrigued by, but it's, I mean, he got the touchdown last week. That's what saved
his season. Got the Hail Mary. Yeah.
It's more so his snap count and his route percentage share. Like, they've both been a lot higher these last 2 weeks. So I guess it's just more or less something to monitor. Let's see how he plays this week. If you have the extra bench spot, you can throw him on there. There's probably other speculative ads out there, but I guess it's just a name out there. Jaden Daniels is playing well, and we have to think a second target could emerge in this offense.
You have to think that. And I think that second target, Zach Ertz. He's still on Washington, right? I keep mixing up if he's in Washington and Arizona. Yeah. Reds.
I'd still throw him out there as a decent play. If you're the Kittle manager, you could do a lot worse than Zach Ertz.
Yeah, so I'd say I guess he's the one I'm looking for. The wide receiver, too, like you said, Noah Brown was saved by the Hail Mary. They're not doing that every week.
For sure. Wide receivers on the other side, Malik Nabers, he's the easy, you know, set him and forget him. Wandale Robinson and Darius Slayton. What do we do here? Wandale's just been a target leader all season, and then Darius Slayton comes away with 7 last week, 4 catches for 108 yards. Is there anything to that?
Yeah, we'll start. So, as you said, Nabers, easy, set and forget. Washington allows the 10th most points to wide receivers, so a juicy matchup. So maybe that does intrigue you to Wandale or to Darius. And I think I'd lean Darius over the two. Wandale, he has targets out the wazoo. I preached him earlier. I picked him up in a league or two, a little sprinkle here and there. To me, he is like a bottom of the barrel wide receiver 3. It just has not equaled production. And like you said, on the other side, Darius Slayton on just 4 catches, over 100 yards, I think it was. So he's got the upside and a good matchup. I think the buys this week are San Fran and, refresh me,
Steelers.
Steelers. Okay, so yeah, if you lost Pickens, I guess I don't hate Darius Slayton as a replacement for the week.
Yeah, Slayton seems like more of a ceiling play, Robinson more of a floor play. But yeah, like you said, just the two teams
on the floor giving out.
Yeah. I don't necessarily feel like I need to flex to those, but two just to keep on the radar for 12 plus formats. Who do you have winning this game?
4 points is a lot of points, but Washington, see if you can get it done.
Yeah, Washington 6-2, rolled a 7-2. Oh my goodness. I wouldn't have imagined this. Everybody made fun of the Commanders taking Mr. Baseball Cap. He's the head coach out there, and just kind of felt like the second choice, you know, picking him up. This is now his second stint as a head coach down there in Atlanta. But I don't know. I'm impressed. It's blown me away how good this team's been. I digress. Let's move to the 2-6 Patriots at the 1-6 Titans. 38-point over-under. Titans favored by 3.5. This is not a pretty one. But I'm pretty surprised at this. Drake May as well sustained a concussion this week. He's going through the protocol as well. Another limited practice Wednesday and Thursday. I thought we were going to see Brissett and Rudolph this week, but Levis looks like he could play in May as well. It excites me for one team, not necessarily the other.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we'll start a quarterbacks as we always do, starting with Tennessee's side. It's a little easier for me. New England allows the 9th fewest points to quarterback, so regardless of who's the signal caller, it's a big all nope for me. On New England's side, Drake May, if healthy, last week he did get knocked out early, and because of which it was his first game under 20 points in his career that he started. I guess in games he starts and finishes, he always has 20 points, so that's good to put a little note on. But it was a tough game script last week. I think that if he plays, I like him. I have him as like a lower quarterback one. I think he's one of the best replacements for, you're probably not starting Russ, but like a Brock Purdy fill-in. I love Drake May if he's available, if healthy.
I guess I see him just a tad lower. Titans, they've got a pretty good defense. I don't know if it's going to be an easy day for them. I'm trying to think, like, would I rather go?
Yeah, look at me. Would you rather?
I think I'd rather go like Flacco. Like kind of going Flacco there.
Kind of unimpressed with Flacco. I'd have him over Jameis. I was just thinking.
I'd kind of see them in about the same tier. Jameis playing the Chargers. It's a harder matchup. Maybe with Baker playing the Chiefs. I'm not big on Baker this week. He's kind of low in for me. I don't know. I just think there's better options to play than Drake May this week. I'm okay pulling it off a little bit just because of the matchup. Down at running back, Rhamondre Stevenson, it's ugly, but he finds a way. He's getting it done.
He ate last week in a tough matchup, too, against the Jets. He had that gritty fourth down touchdown to just ice the game and just devastate the Jets, which, of course, it happened. Yeah, but so to me, he is a very we've also seen, though, like his floor can be single digits. So absolutely brutal. But to me, he's a very, very solid running back two with potential for that high running back one ceiling as he had last week.
Yeah, it's a season high last week of 80% rush share. That number just has been increasing week over week, last few. So, like I said, it's not pretty. The offense isn't great, but it's volume play for sure. On the other side, we have an issue because Pollard would be kind of looked at in the same vein as Stevenson in this game, but he missed another practice. Sat out two this week. He's got a foot issue. So if Tony Pollard doesn't go, I would love to see Tajay Spears finally get a shot and let's roll. But the dude cannot be healthy this week. Limited practice Wednesday. I haven't seen anything for Thursday. Hamstring. So if we're down to like Julius Chestnut down here.
Great name.
I mean, in like a month, yeah. It's still Halloween season, man. We're not ready.
Maybe
for
he loves hot dogs. I don't know.
An open fire.
Yeah.
I think I'm just staying away from this backfield if Pollard's out. Or are you going to try and take advantage of?
No,
you can run on the Patriots.
You can run. They allow the second most points to running back, just behind Carolina. Pollard has had a safe range all season. But if he's not healthy, like you said, you were big into Spears in the offseason, in the preseason. And I'd even give him a go, but he's not healthy either. So to me, it's really just a Pollard a bust here, which is a shame. It's a great matchup, and Pollard's been pretty solid this season.
As we get to wide receivers, Calvin Ridley had that just bounce-back game.
God.
The one we were finally looking for. Didn't get in the end zone, but 15 targets, 10 catches, 143 yards. His quarterback was Rudolph. He had a shiny nose. If Will Levis plays, though, do you go back to Calvin Ridley or...
No.
I mean, it's hard. The volume will be there, but we've seen him with volume before. The goose egg he had that one week, 8 targets, 0 catches. That's impressive to do, Will Levis.
That is impressive to do, and it's a juicy matchup. New England allows the 8th most points to wide receiver, which doesn't go hand in hand with their fewest points to quarterback, but I digress. I'm not risking Ridley. He has been such a huge liability. He's so inconsistent. And I know I mentioned him in passing, this other guy, but like Nick Westbrook and Keenan, can't say his name and I apologize for that. He's been increasing his points every game for the last 3 games. So I don't even
think. 3 touchdowns like over the last 3 weeks. What is this? We're trying to see something happen with one of these players and he's not helping.
Mm-mm. So it has been absolutely insane. I'm staying away from these wide receivers despite the juicy matchup.
If Rudolph plays, I don't mind playing Ridley. If Levis is out there, I don't mind the pivot. It's hard to walk away from that much volume. I'm sure he was picked up in waiver wires after this week. But
I know.
I guess it's all about who else do you have. On the other side, Douglas. If May's out there, I don't mind Douglas or Henry. If it's Brissett, I'm probably going to pivot.
If it's Brissett, stay away. And another juicy matchup, Tennessee allows the 7th most to wide receiver. DeMar had a couple stinkers in a row, but last week, you know, you could say it was because the injured quarterback, and then he wasn't feeling good the week before. Booty's looking fine. It's just fun to say. If May plays, I like DeMar as a pretty solid wide receiver, too. I'd say he's in, like, not quite the Higgins tier, but he's up there for me. But if no quarterback, no, thank you.
I like it. Who do you have winning this game?
New England coming off such a high. I think Tennessee could sneak a win here. Tennessee covers.
If Drake May is in, I pick the Patriots. If he's not in and Rudolph is in, I pick the Titans. But if Will Levis is in, I got the draw. Give me the draw. If Will Levis and Brissett is in.
You're doing the Zach Galifianakis, just like the meme where he's doing all the math right now.
It's too much. It's ridiculous. Next game we have 4-3 Bears taking on the 4-4 Cardinals. Over-under's 44.5. Arizona's favored by just 1.5 point.
Wow.
Start with the quarterbacks here. You could do a lot worse. Kyler Murray, 3 of his last 4 games have been good. Caleb Williams has looked better and better. Last week was troubling. And again, the Commanders, are they good? Are they not? We cannot figure it out. Posted a quarterback 28 last week. Only 10 completed passes on 24 attempts. Not great. Not great, but you got to love that floor of 47 rushing yards. How do you feel about playing these two?
Yeah, so we'll start with the away team as we do. Arizona allows the 8th most points to quarterback, but Caleb has scored under 12 points 4 times, more than he scored over 12 points 3 times. So despite the juicy matchup, I'm just not confident in him. There are other places I would look. Other quarterbacks we talked about before, not Daniel Dimes, but other quarterbacks that we talked about, I would not. So I'm out on Caleb this week. On the other side, tough matchup for Kyler Murray. Chicago allows the 2nd fewest points to quarterback, but still, Kyler Murray still has a couple 20-plus points back-to-back. I'm not a huge fan of him on paper, but he's still a very solid quarterback one with the upside. And frankly, he might just not know that the new Call of Duty's out, because he's playing like he doesn't know what's out.
I saw he's got a sponsorship with him, actually. He's like, joke's on you guys. Look what I got.
Oh, my gosh. So that's him.
Cardinals are almost like in that same tier as the Commanders. I don't know if they're good or not. There's some weeks where they're coming out there. I'm like, all right, look at this. Young coaching staff, young players out there, they're figuring it out. And then there's other weeks where I'm like, God, this team is just bottom of the barrel. But at a 4-4 record, they're contending for that division. Kyler's, like I said, he's played well the last few weeks. Their defense is a lot more suspect, so I think Caleb Williams has a decent shot at a good week. I've got him as a fringe QB1 this week. Kyler's just above that, kind of like more to middle to low QB1. Patrick Mahomes, I'd play above him. Matthew Stafford, okay. I'd play. Sam Darnold, I'd play above Caleb, but I'd still have him above, Baker, Tua, Bo Nix. Running backs, DeAndre Swift, James Conner. That's as good as it gets right there. You have to put up both those guys. You can beat both these teams on the ground. Cardinals, 27th against running backs. Chicago Bears are 13th. They can still be beat, though. Some of the teams that didn't run on them were, Houston without Joe Mixon, Jacksonville, they are who they are. So I don't mind playing either one of these guys.
No, Connor, short and sweet, but he is one of my favorite high running back twos with consistent running back one upside. So love him. And you already mentioned it, but Chicago, Arizona allows the 6th most points running back. And I am ready to admit DeAndre Swift might just be good. Since week 4, Swift is running back 4, and he's had a bye in that time frame. But despite that, he's still running back 4. So there's no reason he shouldn't be a bona fide running back 1 this week. And then Johnson, Roshan, I'm just not even entertaining him anymore.
Yeah, Swift, after he saw a season-high 90% running back rush share last week against the Bears, it kind of cemented, like, all right, this is the guy. They gave him a 3-year contract. It was a loose one, so definitely something that I didn't know if he'd be there long-term. But he didn't see a target at all last week, so that was the first time on the season. That's a little alarming. No, I guess not alarming, but...
Because Caleb's bad.
Get out of here. Wide receiver, Marvin Harrison. That's all he needs is just some people doubting him. And of course, he comes out and gives you a good game. 6 catches on 7 targets, 111 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah.
We're not benching Marv.
No, you don't bench Marv. Tough matchup. Chicago has the 9th fewest to wide receivers, but I'm convinced that that Maserati Marv, he only knows how to get you 5 points or less or 20 points or more, because it feels like there's never an in-between. And because this is a bad matchup, I think he's going to pop off. So I have him as a bona fide one.
I think I'm looking at more like a middling 2 wide receiver for me. I think he's going to find
a middle. Did you not hear the part? I said either less than 5 or 20 plus.
But he's a rookie. He's got to develop somewhere, right? So I guess I don't know if I feel too confident just against this matchup against the Bears. They do have a good secondary. But needless to say, I'm starting him. Mike Wilson scored last week. I think we just have to be happy for him. The other side, DJ Moore. You can't sit him.
DJ Moore. I have some DJ Moore stats, courtesy of myself. Here we go. This is like the one shining great. Like, this is the DJ Moore. It's his shine. It's his time in the spotlight. So here we go. In half point PPR, DJ Moore has 6 finishes as wide receiver 31 or worse, and 1 finish as wide receiver 30 or better. And that came when he was wide receiver 4 in week 5 versus Carolina, which was a revenge game. So it doesn't count. You know, he's not doing those every week. He has more finishes as wide receiver 72 than he has as a wide receiver 30 or better. Again, just the one. In his last 4 games, he averages less than 6 targets, which you don't like for a wide receiver 1 on a team. And he had his second worst performance of the season coming off the bye. I am becoming more and more comfortable dropping DJ Moore. There is no fantasy trade market for him unless someone can see into the future and predict that Chicago is getting a new play caller. Because between that and Kayla Williams, nothing is working. He has a very, very juicy schedule ahead of him. But there's just... I'm just seeing it. I'm seeing what he is, and now I'm accepting what he is. He is proving to me that he is not worthy of my roster spot.
See, you talk about him having a bad game coming out of the bye, but when your quarterback only completes 10 passes,
because you're not going to have bad.
Arizona, New England, Green Bay, Minnesota, Detroit, San Francisco, Minnesota, Detroit, Seattle.
I know.
You can throw on all of them. I was about to throw Roma Dunze as a guy. You talk about somebody who has no trade value. Roma Dunze's had one game that's been double-digit points. Only one game. But last week, he saw a 28.6% target share. I'm ready to go buy Roma Dunze because of the schedule. I want a piece of this Bears offense. I'd rather have the young stud, but you're probably going to spend about the same on both these. I mean, if you've got people, you know, Mario's considering, is this a droppable player? Then sure. I bet you can go buy either one of them. I'm okay doing that just because the price is so low. Starting in this game, yeah, I'll do it.
Brian, I got a bridge to sell you because it comes with the DJ Moore.
It'll be something I can jump off of if it just doesn't work out. Running tight ends, we've got Trey McBride, you're starting for sure. Cole Kmet, I'm throwing him off the bridge. I don't want him.
That's funny. Great reprise. I like him as a Kittle bot, as a Kittle fill-in.
Little Kittle fill? Kittle
pill? Little Kittle fill.
Little Kittle pill. All right. Who do you have winning this game?
Well, Arizona. Here's something I had to look up. Arizona, thanks to winning last week against Miami, they've now won back-to-back games for the first time since 2021.
Ooh, look at that.
So I had forgotten they won the week before Miami, so I just double-checked it, and I was like, they can't win 2 games in a row. It's proven, except they just did. So
it said, eat that, Mario.
They did. I am so down on the Bears that I'm picking Arizona.
I'm right there with you. I thought I was going to have to, you know, push against you a little bit, but no.
Did you not hear my DJ Moore spiel?
I did forget about that. No, I don't think it'll not be memorable. I think it'll be a decent game on both ends, but yeah, give me Cardinals to win this one. Oh, right. Am I just talking myself into the Bears though? I'll table that for later. Give me that next game. Let's go to it. It's got to be the 2-6 Jags at the 5-2 Eagles, 45.5 point over under. Philly's favored by 7.5. Jalen Hurts is in your lineup. Trevor Lawrence probably isn't, though.
Yes, so let's jump into this one. As a reminder, this was the game that was supposed to be the primetime game, but it got flexed out for the other podcast host team. But we're not talking about that game yet. We're talking about this one. Yes, so we'll start with the away team, as we always do. Trevor Lawrence. Philly allows the 7th fewest points to quarterback. Trevor did have a good week last week. His quarterback 6 performance bumped him up all the way to quarterback 12 on the season. But I have not a lot of confidence in this matchup. Eagles have looked really good. They kind of limited the damage Joe Burrow did to them. But I'll say on the plus side for Trevor Lawrence, I think this game leaving primetime is a boost to Trevor Lawrence. So take that as you will. He's technically on that threshold of quarterback 1 in a 12-man league. But to me this week, I have him as a mid-2.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Right there with you on those quarterbacks. Yeah, Jalen Hurts, last two games, he's got 5 rushing touchdowns. It's more than the Vikings, Chargers, Browns, and Cowboys all season.
Wow.
Not combined, but just, you know, each team. It's crazy.
Aaron Jones
crazy.
Has been hurt.
4 touchdowns he had last week, 3 of which were on the ground. Oh, my goodness. Couldn't imagine moving on from him. Barkley's an easy go.
Barkley's an easy go. This is a great... I'll just jumble these two together. Jacksonville allows the second most to quarterbacks, but you're already starting Hurts. Saquon, we're already starting him, but Jacksonville allows the 8th most points to running back. So both these guys are starting at already 11.
So Saquon's an easy go, but ETN, limited practice again on Thursday, hamstring injury. I think if he starts, you have to play him. You know, if he's starting, I mean, he's saying he's good to go. It's hard to bench the guys when they don't. But he does miss again. Bigsby was also limited in practice on Thursday with an ankle injury. If Bigsby goes out there, I guess are you comfortable playing him against this Philly defense? Who's looked a lot better over the last few weeks.
That's the thing. Philly allows the 4th fewest points to running back. And you already talked about ETN limited in practice. To me, it's a scary matchup. I would personally rather he sits out. If I'm a ETN owner, manager, I'd rather manage future problems. But I will say that after this week, I haven't thought that. I was like, oh, don't let him play this week. It's probably schedule gets easier. Next week, he plays Minnesota at home, then travels to Detroit, then is on his bye. So it's just a grueling slate for really any of these running backs in Jacksonville. But ETN, I will say, after the bye, his schedule gets as juicy as possible. I think ETN is a huge buy right now, is what I'll say. But as for this game, I'm really considering elsewhere. Like, to me, he's at the floor. This is a floor game. This is 100% a floor game for him, and I don't think his floor is that stable. So maybe he gets a touchdown if he plays, but I'm really looking elsewhere from him.
The interesting thing with Bigsby is, you know, before last week, the guy only had 1 catch on the entire season. Last week, he had 3 targets and 2 catches. It's not a whole lot, but for a guy who had nothing going into the season, that is a big difference there. I don't know. He ran nearly as many routes as D'Ernest Johnson, who I was kind of like pushing a little bit more just because he had that rushing upside or that passing upside. So ETN's out. I'm okay flexing Bigsby, but I think I have him more as like a low-end running back 3. Wide receivers, A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith. It's as easy as it gets. Devonta Smith tore it up last week, had a nice bounce back after he had 1 down game, and everybody's doubting him because he had the 1 catch, negative 2 yards. Like, came back, touchdown, 85 yards on 6 catches. So those guys you don't have to question. The other side, we do. Brian Thomas Jr., 2 to 4 weeks, that's what they say. Limited in practice on Thursday is what I say.
Yes, so, I'll say. Yeah, so just going off of him, quick knock against Jacksonville. They allow the 4th most to wide receivers. So we already talked about the Philly guys. You're starting them, no hezzy. Philly, this is kind of where they're not a top 10 as they are against quarterbacks and running backs. They're not that against wide receivers. So in theory, you can kind of beat them. But they've been looking pretty solid these last couple weeks. Both their rookies have stepped up. Darius Slay has been banged up. They limited the damage done to them by Jamar Chase last week. They limited Neighbors in his first game back from his concussion. So if Brian Thomas Jr. plays, I know he's been wide receiver 1 numbers all season, but I'm going to take a little knock on him. I think that the rookie just won't have it there this week. And then besides him, it's just kind of Evan Engram. I'm not really looking at the other pass catchers.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm still willing to play Brian Thomas if he's out there, if he's good. Evan Engram, he's going to feast. Should be a top 3 play this week. Absolutely going to crush. Parker Washington played an interesting role last year as a rookie in the absence of Christian Kirk. Had a couple games with 6 targets. Scored a couple touchdowns. So in deeper format leagues, I don't mind the speculative ad or at least just little star thing on whatever platform you're using. Just to keep an eye on him. Somebody's going to have to help in this offense a little bit. Just losing Christian Kirk. Not that he's been real relevant this season, but nope. Gabe Davis is Gabe Davis. He'll be gone after this season. I'm not messing with that at all, even if he is back from his injury this week.
Agreed. But we'll always remember that 4 touchdown performance for the Bills.
Goddard, you playing him? if he's in.
If Goddard's healthy, I'm playing him. He has the production, he has the numbers, he gets the targets. I think this offense utilizes the tight end. I would play him if he's healthy.
Okay, it's not April Fool's. You're a little early. It's November. He's just joking, folks. We don't play Goddard here, not on this podcast. Or I don't.
We'll get to your quarterback in just a few games.
Okay, yeah, I'm waiting for it. Eagles win, easy peasy.
Yes. Yes, and I think they cover. Doug Peterson, next, revenge game.
Next game, we got 6-1 Lions taking on the 6-2 Packers. 48.5 points. Detroit is favored by 2.5. Lions moved a point from the 3.5 it started out, so it looks like Jordan Love is gearing up to play. Limited practice again Thursday, so we're looking good. He should be out there. That looks a lot better for the pass catchers. We don't have to have that hard conversation. But Love and Goff, where do you look at him this week?
Yeah, so always start with the road team. Green Bay allows the 10th fewest points to quarterback. Let me see. Oh, yes. Okay, Green Bay allows the 10th fewest points to quarterback. I mixed up my notes. So for Goff, he's been a pretty solid 15 points per game guy. I'm probably looking for more. So I don't know. I'm not super high on Goff this week. Even last week, you know, he didn't really do too much as he blew out the Titans. So I'm kind of fading Goff. If Love does play, then, I mean, I fire him up. He has been, yeah, I'm firing up Love if he plays. He's got that Brett Favre slinging and energy. This offense goes through him.
Yeah, gotta love Love.
Love Love. We love Love on this pod.
Jared Goff, kind of like a middling two, maybe high-end two for me. There's other options out there, and if you've got Goff, I know he's been on a bit of a hot streak, but most likely I'm sure you have somebody else sitting there. I guess I've got him as a high two now that I look here in my rankings. So
high two is fair.
Him or Caleb Williams. Or I guess I'm
him for sure.
Than you. Him or Patrick Mahomes against Tampa Bay.
Not to give everything away, but Tampa Bay allows the most points to quarterbacks. So I think
Patrick
I'm going to go with
Mahomes,
him.
Top 12 week? What?
What year is it?
He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. Running backs, not much to say here. We've got Monty, Gibbs, Jacobs. Got to play them all.
You fire them all up. We'll start with Detroit's duo. Gibbs is on a tear lately. He's looking like the running back one. Finally, and I'll even have him ranked as a running back one, except because of this matchup, I have Montgomery ranked higher. In the last four times Montgomery has played Green Bay in his career, he averages 93 yards on the ground, a touchdown and a quarter, 1.25 touchdowns, and the receiving yards weren't impressive enough to jot down. But this man hates Green Bay, going from Chicago to Detroit. All he knows is hating the Packers. So to me, he is running back one this week with Gibbs slightly behind.
You just like it because he can throw touchdowns now too, don't you?
He can do it all. And then on the other side, Detroit allows the second fewest to running backs. Josh Jacobs had a huge week last week, shot him up to running back 9 on the season. If Love misses time, that's going to hugely impact Jacobs. He was not looking good in those 2 weeks that Love was gone. But with Love playing, I have him as a higher running back too. But it's a tough, tough matchup.
Yeah, I'd actually probably give Josh Jacobs to just a slight bump. If for some reason Love doesn't play and we get Malik Willis, you might give Josh Jacobs just a little bump. He's, 32 attempts or 32 opportunities that game against the Colts with Malik Willis?
That's true, interesting. But it's also the Colts, so.
Okay, all right, shots fired there. We did see 8 other attempts go to other running backs here, so again, we're proving that LaFleur likes to spread the ball around. I've been waiting for their rookie to come out there, so hopefully we can get him off IR, I believe, next week. Wide receivers, Amon-Ra St. Brown is the easy start, so we've got to talk the Packers. This is where the questions pop up. Let's go ahead and talk with Jordan Love in the game.
Yeah.
I think Reed and Dobbs are pretty easy starts for me. And the Watson-Wicks is where it gets a little bit more complicated. That's the risky play for me.
Those are the risky guys, so I'm going to go through. I got some notes here, not as detailed as DJ Moore, but still. Something about this NFC North, I guess. Detroit allows the third most points to wide receiver, but the question is, where will those points go? since week four, Reed and Wicks, why'd I pick week four, you ask, is because Reed and Wicks each scored 22 plus points in week four. So since week four, Reed is wide receiver 14, Dobbs is 25, Wicks is 35. And again, they each had those big, those two of them had those big weeks in week four. If we go since week five, so past those two monster weeks, Dobbs is the highest of the bunch at wide receiver 19, and he didn't even play in week five. So which wide receiver is the answer here? I think that's Dobbs. I think Dobbs is the clear cut head and shoulders above guys. And to me, Reed is the one slightly below him. And then Wicks and Watson. Watson I have in the basement. I'm so over Watson. Wicks is below Reed. Wide receiver, a lower wide receiver three for me. I guess I'd have Reed as a wide receiver three. And then so Wicks is like that four level.
Reed's still my number one. Reed's still my number one. I've got him as a low end wide receiver two. He's been over the 20% target share just once in the last five games, so not really giving him a great floor there. 11% in the last two games. That's bad. But
that's bad.
Jordan Love's been a little banged up. It's been rough.
He's moved on to Dobbs.
I believe this is the bounce back. We'll feel good about Romeo. Reed this week. Like I said, Dobbs, he's a great kind of wide receiver three play. He's tried and true, especially in PPR leagues. He's a great flex play. I'm still on team Watson. I'm playing him in 12 team plus leagues. I'm playing him for that touchdown upside as my third wide receiver, my flex play. Last week, he played 23 routes compared to Wicks, just ran 9. So I'm still leaning in that camp. I know that Wicks could blow up at any point. He's always down for a touchdown, but I think that's fair with any of these players.
That is, any of these guys could immediately just break off something crazy. And like you said, any of them could get 2 touchdowns any given week. But like I said, looking at my sample size, Dobbs is my guy. But it's tough to go wrong. Because I feel like from what we've also seen is some of these guys, like 2 of them are going to get fed. But now all of a sudden, Tucker Kraft's kind of emerged. He could be one of those two guys.
5 touchdowns in the last 5 weeks. That screams, sell him, baby!
Oh, my God.
There's just some other interesting pieces that I think are out there. I'm a huge Kraft guy, and if you have to hold him all season, I'm all about it. But he is running hot right now, and it almost just it seems too good to be true. I wouldn't mind to see what I could get for him right now, just as far as, you know, Hockenson's coming back. He's got an amazing schedule going forward as far as tight end goes, so kick the tires there. Laporta, 33% target share, highest of the season on 19 attempts. So do that with what you will. You're still probably starting him. You know, if you've held on this long, you're in the flames. It's what we've done with, you know, Andrews and Pitts, or I've done throughout the season. Who do you have winning this game is the big question.
Oh, I think if Love plays, I think Green Bay wins it. I think it's just not ready to pass the torch. But I want to say, the last thing I wanted to talk about was Khalif Raymond. To me, he's kind of sneaking up my radar, seeing out my charts, especially with Jameson Williams potentially missing more time. I know he has the 2-game suspension. He has some things up in the air right now. We'll leave it at that.
Talk about the bullets. I guess he didn't fire again.
He did not. So Khalif Raymond, he's sneaking up higher and higher. I think he is at minimum a sneaky wide receiver 3 play, and I think he could only rise.
Yeah, just what we, if you did miss it, what we were alluding to there a little bit. Jameson Williams, of course, serving his second game for suspended for whatever PEDs, drugs. I don't remember exactly what it was labeled. But like anyway, that. He was pulled over and revealed to the officer he had a gun. So nothing's come of that. But I mean, gambling's, drugs, guns. It just sounds, he needs to go spend some time in Canada. You know, the Canadians just need to teach him a little happiness, calm down a little bit. I did think it was funny. Like, I guess one of his comments to the cop was like, come on, I live in Detroit. Of course I have a gun. It's like, it's valid, buddy. You're not just in some, anyway, moving on. We've got both Packers winning that. Unless Malik Willis is in, then yeah, give me the Lions.
Then it's over.
3-4 Rams taking on the 4-4 Seahawks. 48.5 point is the over under. LA is favored by just 1.5 points in this game. Quarterbacks, I kind of see both these guys as I guess if DK's in, Geno's a high end quarterback two, Stafford's a low end quarterback one for me. If DK is out, Geno falls more to a middling to low end quarterback two for me.
Yes, that's the big thing I wanted to see, because I know that DK missed practice on Wednesday and that dang West Coast, so it's tough to see if he what's come out for Thursday. So I'm kind of thinking if DK doesn't play, and without DK, Geno had a tough, tough day. He was not great last week. So I'm going to just go ahead as if DK doesn't play. I'm going to say avoid Geno. And with Stafford, he skyrocketed to a quarterback five game in his first game back with Kupp and Puka. It was a monster 25-point game last week. With these two in, I see him hitting 20-plus again. So easy easy quarterback one for me.
Yeah, Seahawks look lost after when they start 3-0.
Yeah,
nice 1-4 skid since then. It's not been great. Running back, Kenneth Walker gave us a day, but the Seahawks got behind very quick in that game, in a game where he should have thrived against Buffalo, but only 9 on the ground for 12 yards. Yeah, not great. 9 for
12 yards.
Did catch 4 of his 5 passes for another 33, kind of saved his day from being complete garbage. But going into the bye for the Seattle Seahawks, I think Kenneth Walker should have a nice bounce back game.
Agreed. Kenneth Walker. No, I was actually even going to jump into Kyren, because the Rams give the 5th most points to fantasy running back. So to me, both of them I have as easy, no hezzy, hey, send forgets.
Yeah, Kyren, if your hardest discussion with Kyren is, does he score 1 or 2 touchdowns in this game?
He loves the end zone. Addicted.
Addicted to the stuff. When we talk wide receivers, Nacua and Kupp has to be as easy as any plays. I've got both of them as, you know, you're going to get a wide receiver 1 performance out of 1 and maybe a high-end 2 out of the other. Who's it going to be? We're not really sure. Nacua, limited snaps. He did have limited snaps last week. So all the count. Argument about, look at that. He just was targeted essentially on every route. It was unreal.
Yes, on every one of his snaps. So like you said, I love both of those guys. I have Puka a little bit higher as a lower wide receiver 1. Kupp is a high wide receiver 2. But with them healthy, you start them both up. And then the other side, if DK doesn't play, man, JSN, good news is last week without DK is that he had his best performance of his last 3 games, but he still failed to hit 10 points. And I'm starting to think this might just be who he is.
So DK plays, I'm playing DK. If he doesn't play, I'm not playing a wide receiver, I don't think. I don't think I'm playing him or Lockett. I mean, maybe a deep enough, if you're in a 12-team league and just the way the cookies crumble, I'm not saying you can't start either one of them, but I'm trying not to start either one. And are you dropping JSN? They go into a bye after this.
Oh, my god!
San Francisco the week after. I just... You haven't played him for 8 weeks. You know, he's given you a couple, really 1 good game, a couple decent games, but you haven't wanted to play him for 8 weeks. Why would you hold him for 2 more if you're not going to start him this week?
I love that take.
Like, would you drop him for Tillman?
That's a great question. That's a great question. Like him, a Romeo Doubs, a Ricky Parcell. Like, there's so many guys that I think I would just, for those feeling of being alive, I would drop. Besides JSN, he had the 17-point game back in week 2. And, like, we didn't know, but that was the sell window. Since then, he's had 1 game of double digits, 11.1 back in week 2, 4, 5.
Let me make a 17 wide receiver 12 week look even worse. He did that on 16 targets, 12 of which he caught. So he had 12 catches, and he only registered 17.5 points in a half PPR setting. That's not great. I mean, 117 yards is pretty, I mean, it's good, but on 12 catches, that's not that great. You know, it's less than 10 yards a catch. That's not good.
That's less than 10 yards a catch, Brian. Yeah, why do math? Zero.
There was no big 50-yarder, big, you know, like... And I think that just showed, like, DK is the big yard play. He's the big wide receiver 1. JSN, I mean, it's only year 2 for the guy. I'm not saying he's cooked and, like, dynasty to get rid of them. But, like, as far as redraft, I'm ready to move on. I have no problem just cutting bait if you haven't already.
Oh, my gosh. Here I was obsessed with DJ Moore, and I should have been doing my dissertation on JSN.
Well, somebody we're not obsessed with is the tight ends. I'm not starting any of them.
Yeah, no tight ends this game.
Winner, who wins this one?
Give me Seattle. I think they figure it out.
Ooh, going birds, huh? Going birds. I'm going Rams in this one. Wait, is that offensive if we call the Seahawks birds as an Eagles fan?
No, there's a lot of birds. Birds fly together. Birds fly together.
Was it like 2-3 years ago when the Chicago, or I think it was Cowboys, did the bird gauntlet where they played like all five bird teams or something like that? It's pretty cool.
Yeah, they fly together.
All right, Sunday night game, as you said, flexed into it. The 4-4 Colts taking on the 5-2 Vikings. 47-point over under. The line has moved from 6 to 5.5. The line has actually moved up 1.5 in the over under because guess what? Father Flacco is flinging it this weekend. Cool. He's freaking, I'm going to stop with what I got. So, yeah. Flacco is a play for me. He is a QB2. Oh. He's a QB2 for me. So, I guess you don't necessarily have to, depending on what your options are. But I don't mind him as a high-end QB2 this week.
Yeah, good for him. Minnesota allows the 9th most points to quarterbacks. But I'm not feeling Flacco.
Oh, what about Sam Darnold? You feeling Sam Darnold?
I am. Sam Darnold's had his ups and downs, but I consider him one of the safer quarterback ones. Like, obviously, he had that terrible game in London against the Jets, but for the most part, he's been relatively stable.
Yeah, I feel good about him, too. He's like a middling wide receiver one for me this week. To the running back position. Oh, Jonathan Taylor. What's up, buddy? He's back, folks. 20 attempts, 105 yards. Also caught his lone target for 12 yards. He's got a rough matchup, folks. I'm not going to paint it as something pretty, but this game, I think the what we're really banking on here is the rate of play. Both of these teams pass it a lot in neutral game scripts, and they move the ball. Their pace of play is fast, so I'm expecting a lot of plays in this game. It's also while you're seeing the over-under sit where it is. So despite Minnesota being the 10th best team against running backs, only allowing 18.8 points a game, I still think Jonathan Taylor needs to be out there, especially since Father Flacco's out there.
There is zero doubt in my mind. Where there's so much doubt around, is JSN droppable? Is DJ Moore viable? Jonathan Taylor is in my lineup. I don't care if I have Barry Sanders, prime Christian McCaffrey, and Derrick Henry. I'm finding a way to put Jonathan Taylor in my lineup. When he plays, he's a dog. He's matchup proof. He fights through adversity. He's starting for me.
I like it. Aaron Jones on the other side gets the Colts. 21st best matchup, about 22 points a game is what they are giving up. Unless they're playing Mixon, then they give up all the points.
That's just Mixon. So Aaron Jones, he's coming off a below average game of running back 26, but he has the same number of top 8 finishes too as he has with 30 plus, also too. To be honest, I think the whole Vikings game plan got thrown off with Puka and Kupp coming back on that short week, kind of out of nowhere. We thought Puka was weeks away, and it's just like, hey, I'm healthy, so I'm going to get 100 yards. So I have Aaron Jones finishing back in a top 16 back, and I think that's where he's going to have a majority of his finishes.
I like it. I kind of see him mid to low RB2. It's weird. Only 3 touchdowns on the season.
High.
As good as he's been.
That is weird.
It's been on the back of yards with Hawkinson coming back in to possibly into this game. I think touchdowns are probably going to be just about that sparse. So, yeah, he's still a good play. Solid play. Wide receivers, Josh Downs. Whoop, whoop. We feel great about this guy. He has been a top 8 wide receiver when he gets Father Flacco out there. I mean, you know, small sample size, but in those games, you know, 4 of his last 5 games, 9 targets or more. Even had a 12 target game with 9 catches, 3 touchdowns in 5 of those games. I'm so excited to play him this week, even against this tough Vikings defense.
Tough Vikings defense. They allow the most points to fantasy wide receivers.
This is true. This is true.
So, yes. Yeah, well, you can't beat them on the ground, but in the air, they're very viable. Downs, if he's healthy, but that feels like the biggest if. He seems like he can't get off this injury report. I'm not sure if he practiced Thursday.
Full practice on Thursday. Whoop, whoop.
Love that. Okay, so Downs is the guy. We're up for Downs. Pittman, I'm kind of over. Alec Pierce, that shine wore off.
Come on, Pittman's back in play. He had a full practice on Thursday, and his buddy Flacco is in. I'm okay putting him out there as a wide receiver 3 this week. Like you said, Minnesota's giving up the most points to the wide receiver position. Fast rate of play, lots of play.
High four.
We'll be giving a high five after this week. Come on.
Nice.
Pierce, he's your boy.
Pierce is my boy, but we're over it. I'm looking at his most recent finishes, and they are gone. He had his – Pierce was his best when it was, hey, Tony Rich, you're going to sling it as far as you can, and somebody has to catch it. And like you said, that was before downs.
He had his best game of the season with Flacco there against Jacksonville. That 3-catch, 134 yards and a touchdown, just barely edged out week one. If you were in a 12-plus team league, you are the underdog. I'm okay putting Alec Pierce out there. Understand what you're putting out there. He could give you a whole whopping 1.6 like he did last week, or 2.5, or 0, as he's done the last 3. But roll them dice, folks. Go big or go home.
Go big or go home. And like you said, three catches on 100 yards, like 100 yards on 3 catches. That's not sustainable.
Oh, come on. He's done it twice this season.
Oh, no, I digress then. Yeah.
Justin Jefferson does it all the time. So you're playing him. But Jordan Addison, you're playing Jordan Addison or Michael Pittman this week?
Everybody in that conversation is fighting to be a wide receiver for. I am fading all the other pass catchers in Minnesota, especially with Hawkinson inching closer and closer back. Either of them, Addison or Naylor, they thrive when there's just one of them. But now there's two of them. Sam Darnold can't spread the ball that much. Aaron Jones needs to find more end zones. So, yeah, JJ, nobody else.
Look, Addison, big fan of the talent. I think Hawkinson's coming back this week, but we're buying a bucket. We are getting a bucket of grease because the squeaky wheel is squawking. Three. Oh my gosh, it's so hard to say. Yeah, Addison, number 3, he's been putting out stuff about, you know, just free number 3. He wants the targets. He wants to be involved. He's squeaking. I think I like playing Jordan. I like playing all these pieces. I'm excited about this game. This is the type of game you flex into a Sunday night slot. You know, not like an Eagles game where they're playing just like an team. This is the matchup you want to see, folks. I'm okay starting up Pittman, Addison, Jefferson, Downs. Give me them all, even Hawkinson in this game.
Are you saying that Addison is just being a Odell Beckham Sr. right now, where he's just like taken to the gram and being like, look at how open I am. Feed 3.
They're wide receivers. They're divas. You got to stroke their ego from time to time.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, KOC, he's a good coach. He knows what he needs to do. And, you know, it just makes we need to do something before Addison lashes out. You know, we don't want him rushing off to the vet again at 120 miles an hour, or however fast he was going.
Too fast. Goodness.
Who's winning?
Only 5.5 points feels generous. I'm going to take Minnesota.
You smell it? I smell the upset too.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yes. Because what would cause more drama and controversy than the Colts winning, beating the 5-2 Vikings, and just making all chaos happen in that quarterback room? Because you know what? Houston will probably lose too. Putting us in command of that division, and it's the chaos that I'm going to expect. So give me Indy winning.
Crazy. Yeah, delusional.
I kind of hope
until this goes on,
but you know, who knows. 4-4 Bucks going to Kansas City playing Arrowhead. 7-0 Chiefs. It's a 45.5 point over under. Kansas City's favored by 8.5. No Rice, no Godwin, no Mike Evans, no fun. Yeah, this game's gonna be I hope it's good. Like we've kind of alluded to how bad the Buccaneers secondary is. Patrick Mahomes should have a decent day. Baker, I'm not a big fan of, kind of like a middle quarterback too. But yeah, give me Patty as a QB1 this week.
Baker, I got to say, I mean, usually when we see a quarterback lose their top 2 weapons, we saw it happen to Jalen Hurts for a game, they stunk. We saw it happen to Stafford for an extended time, he stunk. We saw it happen last night to CJ Stroud. I'm going to go out on a limb. The game hasn't happened yet. He stunk. So when a quarterback doesn't have their top 2 weapons, they stink for fantasy. But Baker, But Baker cooked something up last week and still managed to deliver 24.3 points. He's quarterback two on the season ahead of Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels, Josh Allen. That's for average points per game. Sorry. He's quarterback two, even on total points. Glad we got that cleared up. Even though the matchup does worry me and he has no weapons, I feel comfortable starting Baker. I just cannot be. I'm a slave to history.
This is just such a hard matchup for me. Like, it's the Chiefs. I'm not messing around with it. I know I have better options.
How do they win? Intriguing. How do they win? Because it's not on the ground. Kansas City allows the fewest points to fantasy running backs.
Well, Baker's not winning. Chiefs are going to win.
That's probably true. But
come on.
But Baker, I like Baker this week. And then on the other side for Patrick Mahomes, Tampa, I alluded to it. They allowed the most points to quarterbacks. It's an excellent matchup for Mahomes. But he's been so bad. Like, you probably start him in quarterback one, but I would start Baker over Mahomes.
No, give me Mahomes. Give me Mahomes. As well as give me Hunt. Give me Hunt. He's been so good since he's come to the team. I think the question comes over to the other side with Rashad White and Bucky Irving. Are you okay playing both? One? None?
Okay, so top matchup, a few points, opposite of Carolina. They've both been productive, I will say, on the season. And Irving has a toe injury. He didn't practice on Thursday. And from what I read, his toe injury may linger all season. So I have White slightly over Irving, as I have all season, but it's really such a bad matchup for both that I would consider them high running back threes, low twos this week.
I don't mind that at all. White did he outsnapped Bucky by 10 against Atlanta, but he ran 11 more routes. So they both combined for 13 targets. I think that's kind of where you're seeing this is where the new... Well, I was going to say wide receiver one for the team, but no, that's Kate Otten down there. They are looking like they're going to be a piece regularly used. Baker leaned on heavily the running back position last year, so I think we're going to see that maintain. And with Chris Godwin out, we might be able to see enough work dispersed between the two of them where we can get kind of like high-end running back three from White and then like flexible play out of Bucky as well.
I don't hate that. I'm just so worried about the matchup and the game script. You talked about it, but it's just, it's going to be tough for them.
When we get to the pass catchers for the Buccaneers, that's where it's interesting. No Mike Evans, no Chris Godwin. So Jalen McMillan, the rookie, led the Buccaneers in routes run in week 8. McMillan did about 33% of his routes from the slot. Sterling Shepard did about 60. And as we know, of course, slots where the Bucs make all their, all the surprises there. Shepard left with an injury. He's got a hamstring injury, non-participant Thursday. So McMillan might be the play then with Shepard out, might play more into that slot role.
Yes, maybe. Man, this is so tough to me. It's another tough matchup. They allow the fifth fewest to wide receivers. I think McMillan's worth the dice roll, but it's only, I guess, if I don't have better options. I guess it's like we talked about. I'm going to just go back to the litmus test of like JSN or McMillan. And this might be one. I might roll the dice with JSN over McMillan.
Ooh.
It's not pretty, but I just worry. Tough matchup. Listen, though, if they have to win, somebody has to score.
But they do. This is true. But Kansas City the next week and then a bye week. Just get me to week 12 for the Bucs. Mike Evans will be back then. We'll have a sustained slot player, but it's rough. Kate Otten's the only player I'm really excited about as far as
the Kate Otten's the guy I'm starting. Yeah. Kansas City's bad against the tight end, but even if it's mostly padded by likely week one, but.
Oh, God. And now we got an issue on the other side. Not so much the tight end position. Of course, Travis Kelce, we're going back to him. He finally scored last week. It's not tight end week, but tight end. Oh, we need like a tight end Tuesday, but that just doesn't work, huh? Kelce had a 34% target share against Vegas, season high. It was a high end points for him. So, I mean, you're still starting him, I guess. It's not like
too much of a controversy there.
It's the wide receivers we have issues with. DeAndre Hopkins, Xavier Worthy, and Juju Smith-Schuster. He was not practicing on Thursday. So if we can get a full practice Friday, maybe you can look his way. But where, give me the Mario breakdown in this receiving room.
Yeah, so the Mario breakdown, the first things first about Monday Night Football is that Thursday is the Wednesday of Monday Night Football. So Friday's injury report is going to really be telling for Juju. If he doesn't practice Friday, he's not playing this week, is my expectation. It's a juicy matchup. Tampa allows the sixth most points to fantasy wide receivers. DeAndre Hopkins seems like he's getting eased in. It's a great matchup for Mahomes. I'd expect somebody to get some volume here. I just don't think it's going to be Hopkins coming out party just yet. I think that Andy Reid is just such a methodical guy. It's going to be such a smooth settling in. I think until Juju comes back, it's going to be Kelsey's going to be the primary guy. Xavier Worthy with the cutesy stuff that continues to produce on and off. So I have him, I guess, as I'd say, like a wide receiver three with some, he could have a 2-touchdown upside, but not a consistent floor. And then Hopkins, I just don't see him getting too heavily involved just yet. I really think it's going to be close to the playoffs he's going to get used. So if Juju does come back, it's almost crazy, but I think Juju would be the wide receiver I like the most.
I'm glad, that's why I'm glad we don't have to make that decision, because I don't want to go that direction. You know, I want to lean into Worthy. You saw 8 targets last week against Vegas, 23% target share. It's just 2 highest target shares over the last 2 weeks.
Nobody else is out there.
I'm buying into it. I can't, like, oh, it's the rookies. The second half of the season, just it gets so much better for these people. He's outside of his bye week, another indicator of when you jump onto him. So I guess all in all, what I'm saying, if you're in a 12-plus team league, I don't mind the play of Worthy. Hopkins only played 14 routes last week. Obviously, that's not going to be indicative of the entire season. You know, what was it? The 32 routes went to Justin Watson. So those numbers are going to come together. We're going to see less from Watson, more from D-Hop. I think it's just so hard to walk away from this matchup. It's so juicy. The Buccaneers secondary is so bad. So if I'm saying Patrick Mahomes, I have so much confidence in him. I have to have some confidence in D-Hop and Worthy.
He's got to give the ball somewhere.
Flexible pieces this week.
Yeah, I don't hate that. I think Worthy could be flexible. Like I said, I just have him as like just the mid tier of wide receiver three. Like, okay, we're going to go back to the litmus test. JSN or Worthy?
Oh, this is too many tests, man. It's football. It should be easier.
It's like the Wonderlic.
All right, folks, we made it. We have made it. We got through week 9. The matchups, again, if you missed the first 7, hop on into yesterday's episode. You can check out all the stuff there. We can't thank you enough for hanging out with us each and every week. You know, if you're looking for more stuff from me, it's @too_much_Brian on X. You can also find me on the Fantasy Football Advice Network on YouTube. Got 5 shows a week for you coming there. And of course, don't miss the written stuff. I got a little bit there, not much, but football.pitcherlist.com. So many write-ups as far as start, sit, waiver articles, start, DFS, so many different things that are over there. If you're looking for more of Mario, you go to...
Great segue. You come here 3 days a week. You find me blabbering with Brian, which would be a great little segment. Yeah, we'll workshop that. But yes, carrying on. You find me 3 days a week here. New episodes drop Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. You'll find me on Twitter @MarioAdamoJr. You will find me at PitcherList is Discord, which you can find at football.pitcherlist.com. And lastly, I'm active in all the Reddit threads. We usually post when our new articles drop on the Fantasy Football sub. I'm always there answering questions, doing it for the people, by the people. And that's where you find me.
That is selflessness right there, folks. He is devoted. He's here to help you. We all are, of course. football.pitcherlist.com for all of the information over there. Good luck, everybody. Get those lineups set, and we'll see you next week.